We're holding on Chess Zion Omud Bey's seven lines from the bottom. We've been discussing the question of what happens if a get was brought by two shluchim and both of them don't say b'fanei nichtav b'fanei nechtam. We had various cases where one of them says b'fanei nichtav and two of them say b'fanei nechtam, or the other way around, and we're discussing the ins and outs of when it's kosher and when it's possible. So now, continuing in that vein, the Gemara says, Rabbi Baba Chana Cholash, Rabbi Baba Chana one time wasn't feeling well. Ula Gabe, Rabbi Yehuda V'Rabba, L'Shayuli Bey, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba went to be Mavaka Chola. And while they were there, Bo Mine, they asked them the following question. Shnaim Sheviu Get Medina Sayam, if two people, two Shluchim together, bring a get from Medina Sayam, do they both need to say, or do they need to say or not? Again, on the one hand, you have the takana that they should do it for the reasons that we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, because they may not be familiar with the Shema in Medina Sayam, and therefore once they say that, then we'll ask them, Basin will ask them further and make sure that it's written the Shema, or because Ein Eidim Mitzui in the Kaimei, because it won't be easy to find people to validate the signatures on the Shtar, or you could say that the two of them together are considered Eidim and you don't need anything further. On the Lahem, so Rabbi Baba Chana answers them, Ein Srichin, they don't need to say B'faneinu Nechtam, B'faneinu Nechtam, because Ilu Yomru b'faneinu girsha. After all, if these two themselves, ma ilu yomru b'faneinu girsha, what would happen after all if the two of them just said that he divorced her in our presence? In other words, even if there was no physical get with them, miloy mehemni, wouldn't we believe them? Two edim is two edim. So even if they didn't have the physical get with them, that would be enough edus to be able to say that Pliny had divorced Plinus. So the same way over here, when they bring the get, even if they don't actually say b'faneinu nechtam, b'faneinu nechtam, then it's good enough. So we said before with the previous piece of Gemara, we said the question was whether in fact the machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that you had the case where you had different cases over there. One where Rabbi Yehuda, one we had the case where one says b'fanei nechtav and the other says b'fanei nechtam, and the other one where two say b'fanei and the other one where one says b'fanei nechtav and two say b'fanei nechtam. So we said Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on both of them. So now we see from this story over here that in fact the machloikas is when the get is being brought by both of them, where you have the opinion and Rabbi Baba Chana is saying that they just need to they don't even need to say anything at all, and therefore even if they only say part of the formula, then it's also fine, because even if they hadn't said any of the formula at all, it would also be fine. So now the Gemara continues with a little bit more of the story. Adahochi, and then we'll see, we'll talk soon, why this part is relevant, or b'chlal, why is it relevant to mention that Rabbi Baba Chana was sick when they came to visit him to discuss this. So we'll do the story first, and then we'll discuss that. So Adahochi, as they were talking, a certain chavra came. Now a chavra, Rashi translates as a Persian, as we'll talk about soon, we're not necessarily talking about Stam, a Goya Persian. We're talking about particularly a Persian Galach, part of the ruling class over there, and one of their Galachim. Shakel the Shragam the Kamayu, and he took away the lamp from in front of them. The Persian religion of those days, one of their basic ideas was they worshipped fire. Their basic idea we find from various places in Shas, Lavdil, we have in various other sources as well. They believed in a concept of a god of good and a god of evil. If you find it mentioned here and there in Shas, this concept and how the Chacham refuted it. Anyway, so one of their ideas was that that the fire represents good, and therefore on days of their Chagas, they had a law that you can have fire burning only in their temples. Anywhere else, fires have to be put out. So now, this happened to be one of the Goyish holidays, one of the Persian holidays, so therefore he walked in and put out the lamp that they were sitting and then talking by the light of it. Omar, so Rabbi Baba Chana says, Rachmana, Hashem, Oy Betulach, either we should be under your shadow, Oy Betulach, Debar Esav, or under the shadow of the children of Esav. In other words, the son of Esav, of Edom. In other words, either put us under your protection, take us out of Golos, or if it's not time for that yet, then put us under Golos, under the control of Bnei Esav, rather than these Persians with Bnei Esav, the Romans, at least show us more respect. Well, the question is, what do you mean? They show us more respect. You're telling me the Romans are better than the Persians? Didn't Rav Chiya teach a b'raisa? The pasuk says Hashem understood its way, and He knows its place. So the context is the pasuk is actually talking about that whole perek. It comes from a perek in Iyov talking about chokhmah. And then Chochmah, of course, means specifically Chochmah of Torah. So it describes all the advantages of it and how Hashem made it, on the other hand, very difficult to achieve if you don't put effort into it. And then you have this pasuk, Hashem understood its way and He knows its place, which means as far as the Chochmah of Torah, Yedea, and as far as the Jewish people who are the bearers of it, Yedea, Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, She'en Yecholim Lekabel Gzeiras Ruyim, Hashem knows about the Jewish people that they wouldn't be able to handle the Gzeiras of the Romans, Omer Behegla Oysom LeBavel, and therefore, by the first Churban, therefore, instead, He sent them to Babel. In other words, we would say, with our Balabatish brains, we would say, well, you know why Golos, but you know why the Golos was to Babel? Because that was the superpower at the time. They were the ones who took the Jews into Golos, so naturally they went there. But the Gemara, of course, always looking for the underlying reasons of things, says, Hashem could have just as well made that the Romans would be powerful at the time of the first Churban, and that they could have been the ones to do the Churban and bring the Jews to their country. So why didn't that happen? Because Hashem knows how harsh the Xeris are to us. So therefore, we see that the Romans are a lot worse than the people above them. And the answer is like Tasha. There's no contradiction. It depends before or after the Chavri came to Babel. So now Rashi explains again that Chavri, Rashi says, means generically the Persians. So he explains that. We're talking about at first. When the Jews were sent to Babel in the times of Nebuchadnezzar and his descendants, Evel Meroidach and Belshazzar, the next kings of Babel, as bad as they were, especially Nebuchadnezzar, at least they showed a certain respect for the Jews. They didn't treat them like criminals or slaves or whatever. They settled comfortably in Babel. And on the other hand, Rashi says, from when the Persians took over in Babel, which is when Kodesh conquered Babel, 52 years after the Churban, then at that point, things started going downhill. And that's, so Rabbi Baba Chana is living hundreds of years after that, but he's saying that even so, from then on, it might have actually been better to live under the Romans because the Persians are doing these intolerable kinds of things. Tosfos has a whole different explanation. Tosfos says, first of all, the Chavrim are not necessarily Stam Persians. You actually have a Gemara, the Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Kiddushin that contrasts them. And also you have a Gemara that we've learned in Yevamos that says that it was in Rabbi Yochanan's times that they came to Babel. Rabbi Yochanan lived hundreds of years after Kodesh conquered Babel. So rather, Tosfos explains that the Chavrim are specifically one particular group that came in Rabbi Yochanan's times. They came to have a powerful influence on the Persians. So historically, what you have is that when you have the Persian Empire that conquered Babel. After that event, you had various other dynasties or whatever. All of them had this religion with the two gods and the fire worship and all that, but they weren't particularly fanatical about it. Then what you had is, and Rabbi Yochanan said, now this is not Tosfos explaining, this is defined in other sources and Jewish history books talk about it, that in particular Doros HaRishonim, that in Rabbi Yochanan's time, so around the time of the beginning of the Amiroyim and around the time when this story is taking place, you had a different group of a different group of Persians who they eventually overthrew the previous government, and they established they came to rule over Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael, they came to rule over Babel and Persia themselves, and they were a lot more fanatical about their religion. So therefore, if up until then, yes, the official rule was no fire on their chagas in people's houses, but now they started actually enforcing it more severely. So now, that was why the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that when Rabbi Yochanan, living in Eretz Yisrael, heard that the Chavri have taken over in Babel, then he was very shocked by it, because now what's going to happen to the Yidden? Until the Gemara says, then they told him that they can be corrupted, they'll accept bribes, and then he calmed down, you know, handling going with bribes is something common in Jewish history. So here you have the same kind of thing. Tosfos says that you have up until this time, yes, of course, the Persians have been ruling over Babel for hundreds of years, but now you have this new group of Persians, which the Gemara is calling over here, and other places, Chavri, and they were causing a lot more trouble than the ones before, because they were starting to enforce the laws of their religion, including no fires in people's houses, much more severely. So that's what brings Rabbi Baba Chana to say that under those circumstances, we'd be better off under the Romans. So, at that time, also in the Roman Empire, they had, it's true, of course, you know, we don't know, nobody has to, no, we don't have to go through, of course, all the Xeris that the Romans have done to the Jews, but by the time we're talking about the beginning of the time of the Amorian, things have mostly calmed down in that regard. First of all, the Romans weren't that quick to start up with the Jews again. They'd had a hard time of it during Bar Kokhba's revolt, for example, and they still remember that. And besides which, at this time, historically, you find that they were busy with a whole bunch of their emperors were getting assassinated and all kinds of other things like that, one after the other, so they didn't have much time to harm the Jews. So that would be the kind of time when Rabbi Baba Chana is saying we'd be better off under their control than under the control of the Persians. Anyway, why does the Gemara need to tell us that Rabbi Baba Chana was sick and that they came to visit him? So Ben Yahyada points out, first of all, it tells us how devoted they were to learning Torah, that even they're coming to do Bikur Cholim, still they're going to be discussing Torah, they're going to be discussing the question that we started with about two people who bring a get from the Din HaSeyam, what's the halacha in it? Ben Yahyada also adds another point, which is that they dafka wanted to discuss something, or Hashem made that they should discuss something that would, where Rabbi Baba Chana would answer with something similar to a Kavah Chomer. In effect, when he says, what if the two of them together were to say that he divorced her in our presence, even though they don't have a get, then we would believe them. So the same way over here, we'd believe them even though they don't say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. That is a kind of Kavah Chomer. And we find that Kavah Chomer has to do with refuah. We find that when Miriam was sick, when Miriam had saras, the end of next week's parasha, so Hashem answers, and Moshe davens for her, Kel no refa no la. So Hashem answers him, the Kavachomer, if she insulted her human father, she'd have to be in quarantine for 7 days, how much more so when she insulted Hashem. And there's an idea that's brought in Sfarim, that a Kavachomer, therefore Hashem Davka used a Kavachomer over there, because it has to do with it before. So therefore, over here also, there was a discussion that involved a Kavachomer in order that it should be a healing thing for Rabbi Baba Chana. Then in the trap, The Ksav Sofer makes another interesting point. He says, after all, again, what's the reason that we've been saying all along throughout the Masechta that the reasons behind the Takana of B'fanei Nechtam, we had Rabba's reason and Rava's reason. Rabba's reason was because in Medina Seyam, in countries outside Eretz Yisrael, they may not be familiar with the concept that a get has to be written l'shma, and when the shliach or shluchim come and say b'fanei nechtam, then we'll interrogate them about that and make sure that it was written l'shma. So now the Gemara had discussed earlier in the Masechta on Daf Gimel or Dal or so that, and when we just had it yesterday as well, that la'acha shalomdu, eventually there came a point when in the Din HaSeyam they learned this concept, and then there's less of a concern about it, but there's always Shema Yachsu Adol Kokoloi, there's still the concern. Rabba says that it might go back to the old messed up way, they may forget again. So now, the Ksav Sofer says, that's why you have the part, why does the Gemara bring the part over here about the Chavra taking away the lamp and all, in order to hint to Rabbi Baba Chana that yes, sometimes you may think that you have a place where they're learning Torah very thoroughly, and of course they know all these dinim, but realize even in a place like that, you can still have persecution by the Goyim, as now you're experiencing in Babel, and therefore they may forget again, so therefore don't think that we don't think the whole concept of b'fanim nechtam goes away. No, it might still have to exist. This is at the bottom of Kesayinim and Beis. Well, now top of Yedayinim and Aleph. So fine. In any case, though, so we've said. So we had various opinions about what happens if two people bring a get, whether they still need to say b'fanein and nechta, b'fanein and nechta. We said one way of understanding it is that they don't, and the story of Rabbi Baba Chana bears out that in fact they don't, and that's in fact the halacha. So now continuing, on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Echad Omer b'fanein nechta, v'shnayim Omer b'fanein and nechta kosher. We said in the Mishnah that if one of them says b'fanein nechta, and so only he says it was written in my presence, but not signed. And then two say that it was signed in our presence. Then kosher. So Amrav Yechanan, loy shonu elosha get yotz mitachas yad eit ksiva. Now that would apply only if the get is being held by the one who said b'fanei nichtav. Because then in effect what you have is denasu kishnayim alzeh, the kishnayim alzeh. Because then in effect what you have is you have the equivalent of two Edim, say, giving Edus on the writing of it and two on the signatures. Namely, the whole point is, we're saying, when one Shliach says, b'fanin nechtam, then he, even though he's only one Shliach, the Chachamim give him the power as if he had two, as if he were two Edim. And we say, therefore, that we accept that, therefore, we can ask him whether it was written l'shma, and he'll tell us yes, and he can validate the signatures, and even though normally validation of signatures on a shtar needs two edim, but here you have only one, and that was Rava's point about why you need to say b'fanei nichtav and b'fanei nechtam, because if you only said b'fanei nechtam, then it would seem like regular kiyum shtaris, and people are going to think that kiyum shtaris can be done by only one aid. Anyway. The point is, so now when you have, if the one shliach says b'fanei nichtav, then he functions as the equivalent of two edim that the writing was done b'shma, and then you have two edim saying that the signatures are valid, so therefore you have two edim on the signatures, so therefore you're all good. Aval b'tachas yedei edei chasima, but if the get is being brought by the edei chasima, and the one who says b'fanei nichtav is not the actual shliach, just somebody else who came along, possible, then Rabbi Ami is telling us the get will be possible because then you only have one aid on the writing, and he not being a shliach, he doesn't have that ne'emonus, the special ne'emonus that the Chacham gave a shliach to say b'fanei nechtam, but here where he's not the shliach, then that wouldn't work. And Rashi explains that means even if you have both of them, but even if both, So in that case he's saying it's going to be possible that if it's coming from the Eid Chasim, Alma. So that means evidently Rabbi Yochanan holds Kasav Alma Kasava Shnayim Sheviu Get Mivdinas Yam. So it sounds like what Rabbi Yochanan, because that's what Rabbi Ami is saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, sounds like he holds Shnayim Sheviu Get Mivdinas Yam, that even if it is two people bringing from Mivdinas Yam, Tzrichen Shiyem B'Faneinu Nechtam B'Faneinu Nechtam, they still have to be able to say the formula of B'Faneinu Nechtam B'Faneinu Nechtam. We wouldn't use Rabbi Baba Chana's Svara from before to say that after all we would believe them if they said that B'Faneinu Girsha without even having a physical get. And without them even bringing a physical get. Therefore, how much more so we should believe them without saying that if they bring the physical get. It seems Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that way. So according to that, then, you know, again, it would factor in that maybe Rabbi Yochanan would be one of the ones who holds, like Rabba, that the reason for the takana is because we don't know whether they did it l'shma, and therefore it doesn't matter whether they're able to testify that he divorced her or not. The fact is we have a get over here and we need to know whether it was written l'shma. But Omele Rab Asi, but Rab Asi asked Rab Ami, Elamayata, by that logic, Reisha de Katoni, what about earlier in the Mishnah, where it says, Shnaim Omer Fanen Nechta Ve'echad Omer Fanen Nechta Apostle V'Rav Yehuda Machshir, where two of them say that it was written in our presence, and only one of them says it was signed in our presence, and the Mishnah says, the Chachamim say it's possible, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher, V'afilu Get Yotz Mitachas Yidei Shnehem. Now, do you mean that case also, as we discussed on the previous Amud, would be even if both of them are bringing the get, even if both of them even if two of these three are the shluchim to bring the get, and you're still going to say the chachamim passel it, where, according to what you're saying, the fact that you have two bringing it doesn't help. You still need to say b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam. So even if, and you're saying that even if two of them bring it, then you need to. So is that the case? Amalei ein. So the Ami says yes. As a matter of fact, the chachamim would say it's possible even in that case. Only in the case that we said at the top of the sugya, where one says b'fanei nechtav and two say b'fanei nechtam, then it would be fine, because fine, that you have in effect two edim on the ksiva and two on the chasima. But if you have the other way around, two say b'fanei nechtav and one says b'fanei nechtam, then it's no good, because you only have one aid on the signature.
I don't understand the logic. If it is signed by two.
No, the get is signed by two. That's not the question. Of course, you have two signatures over there. We're talking about who's testifying that these signatures are valid. That literally written the Shema or partially that they're valid signatures and weren't forged. Yeah.
Once we know that it was similar, we assume that
we shouldn't necessarily assume that. It doesn't necessarily have to be.
And vice versa also.
So it's one thing. If you have one who says that Mufani Nichtav and he's the Shliach, so then the Chachamim give him the Nemonus of two, and then two say Mufani Nichtav, and for that, the signatures don't have to be done Lashma, but the signatures have to be valid. So therefore, we need two to validate that these, in fact, are these Adam signatures. So therefore, that works, but not the other way around. So wait. Zimnin Ashkechei Yosef B'Kohamar. Then another time, Rav Asi found Rav Ami was sitting and saying the din in a different way. So another time, Rav Ami was saying, Afilu get Yotz mitachas yedei Eidei Achsima, even if the get is being brought by the Eidei Chasima, so even in the case where you have the two who say b'fanenu nechtam or the shluchim and you have one who says that it was written, that it was written b'fanai, and the two of them who are bringing that say b'fanenu nechtam kosher, then he says it would be kosher. So not like before where he said that in that case it would be possible because you don't have two Eidim on the Chasima. Now he's saying kosher. Alma Kasavar, so now we see that Rab Ami now holds, and that he holds that Rab Yechanan holds, Shnayim Sheviyu Get Medinas Yam, that if two Adim bring the get from Medinas Yam, Ain't Srichin Shiyamu, Bufanin Nechtam, Bufanin Nechtam, they Bechwal don't have to say the formula at all, because again we have Rabbi Baba Chana's logic from before that if they were to say Bufaninu Girsha, it would work. So therefore, here we don't care about the fact that the one who's saying Bufanin Nechtam is not the actual Shliach. So, Omele Rav Asi, so now Rav Asi asks him, so he doesn't ask him about the, he doesn't ask him first about the contradiction. First, he's going to ask him whether that fits with what the Mishnah says. Elameata, he says, then by your logic, Reisha, that in the earlier part of the Mishnah, the Ketani Shnaim Emu Fanenu Nechtav, the Echad Emu Fanenu Nechtam Possel, but Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, we were saying, if two say it was written in my presence, and one says it was signed in my presence, then it would be possible because you don't have two Edim on the signatures, but Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, but Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher, you would have to be saying, Taima, the reason why the Chachamim would say it's possible, the Eina get Yotz Mitachas Yedei Shnehem, because the get is not being brought by both of them, only one of them is the Shliach, and only the Shliach did the Chachamim give the Nemonus, and he didn't say both B'fani Nichtav and B'fani Nechtam. Implying, Ha get Yotz Mitachas Yedei Shnehem, implying if it was being brought by both of them, Machshir Rabbanim, then the Chachamim would say it's kosher. So Rav Ami says, yes, in that case, the Chachamim will say it's kosher, which is the exact opposite of what Rav Ami had said before. Before Rav Ami had said that the Chachamim would say that even if get Yotz Mitachas Yedei Shnehem, the Chachamim would still say that if only one says B'fanei Nechtam, then it's no good. Now he's saying that if both of them are bringing it, then the Chachamim would agree it's fine. So Rav Asi asks him, Zimnin like Amrifon Haki, what about a different time you didn't tell us like that? You said the other way around. Omalei, so Rav Ami answers him, Yosid he shaloi timot. This is a firmly fixed peg or nail that should not move. In other words, he's saying, this that I'm saying now, this is the absolutely correct thing. Don't think anything else. In other words, in effect, what I said before was a mistake. Either I misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind, or whatever the case. But this last one, this is how it is. This is what you should stick to. And that, in fact, is the halacha. When you have two shluchim bringing the get, then they don't even need to say b'faneinu nechtam at all. And therefore, if only one of them is saying one and the other is saying the other, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't pass on anything. Only when you have only one of them is bringing the get, then you have the issue that he needs to say b'faneinu nechtam, and you have a, and otherwise you have a problem. With the exception, again, that if you have that if one says b'faneinu nechtam, just the shliach says b'faneinu nechtam, and then two others come and say b'faneinu nechtam, then that would also be good, because then you have the kiyum shtaris part has been accomplished by two edim, like it needs to be done, and the ksiva part has been validated by one aid, and the chacham given the power of two to be able to say that it was written l'shma, yeah. So does that better answer your question?
Or I didn't see a logic.
Okay, now you see the logic. Good. Okay. All right. Mishnah says, Nichta b'yom. So now, for now, at least we're done with the matter of having to validate the signatures and then b'fanim nichta, and all of that. We're going to talk about it sporadically here and there in the Masechta, and of course later on in the next parak we're going to get into all the dinim of l'shma. But right now we're going to deal with other dinim of the writing of the get. The writing on the signing of the get. So the Mishnah says, Nichta b'yom menechta mayom, if the get was written by day, on a certain day, and it was signed on that same day, the Mishnah is going to say that it's kosher. Now, there doesn't seem to be much chiddush in that, of course. How else would you write a get? The Ritva explains that what it means is that you shouldn't think that we have to actually write the time of day on the get. The Gemara is going to give us two reasons why you need a date on a get. So given those reasons, you would think maybe it would be important to write not only the date, but also the time on the get, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us you don't need to. B'chlal, we find throughout Shas, they didn't generally write, the only place where they generally wrote the time on any kind of shtar was in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, they would write shoyis, in other places not. The pashtus, the reason is because in Yerushalayim, they had the ability to know better what time it is, because they could follow the schedule of the korbanos and the bis mikdash. Be that as it may, or maybe it was just for the chashivos of Yerushalayim as the capital city, then therefore they added that extra little detail to their shtaris. But in other places, they didn't do that. Anyway. So nichta bayim and nichta bayim, so if the get was written by day and signed on the same day, or it was written by night and signed that same night, or balayla v'nechtem ayoyim, or it was written by night and signed during the following daytime. And of course, we know hayoyim ha'olachachu alayla. So therefore, for example, if the get is written Monday night and then signed Tuesday morning, that's fine because Monday night and Tuesday morning both belong to yom shlishi. So therefore, the date on the get in all those cases is accurate. So therefore, kosher. So therefore, in all those cases, the get is kosher. But but if it's written by day and then signed the following night, now you have a problem, because now it's a get muktam. Now the date on it is earlier than it should be, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara what the problem is with a predated get. People are going to think that the get was actually given and took effect on that day. So therefore, puzzle. Reb Shimon machshir, but Reb Shimon says it's kosher. Shahoy Reb Shimon Omer, because Reb Shimon used to say kol agitim shenichtavu bayom v'nechtamu b'layla psulin. In fact, Reb Shimon says I agree about all other gitin. And again, the word get often means a regular shtar. So Rashi explains shtaras of sales or gifts or loans. All of those, if they were written by day and only signed by night, they would be possible, because in all those cases you have dinim mominus involved. You're going to be, for example, in the case of a sale, let's consider, we know that when you sell property, when you sell real estate, then there comes with it a shibud you sell property, so now there comes a shibud with it, there's a chrayus with it, that if somebody else, if a creditor later on takes away the property to satisfy a debt, then you will reimburse the person. When are you going to reimburse him as of the date of the shtar on the face of it? He's going to say that I have the right to take away for that achrayus property that you owned as of that date. But in fact, the shtar was only finished and signed that night, which already belongs to the next day. So therefore, no good. And that would be what's called a shtar mukdam, which is possible because then you're going to end up taking away from third parties, from lakuchas, from a time where you weren't supposed to. At the beginning of Rosh Hashanah and some other places in Shas, you have Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, whether the shtar would be completely posel or whether it would just be posel insofar as you can't collect from the Shabbadim, but you could collect from the person's own property, from Bnei Chorin. Anyway, the point is that you do have a problem with shtaris that are mukdam, that are predated, and Reb Shimon will agree with that point. But he says, chutz negitin nashim, with the exception of gitin of women, he's not concerned. Here in the Gemara, we're going to explain that, first of all, Rashi explains, after all, the fundamental point of a get is not to collect money, after all. You don't give a get in order to collect money. It is, of course, true. Once the woman receives the get, then she can, she's able to collect her ksuba. But that actually, the shibud for the ksuba existed as of when they got married. So, or maybe in some cases, as of the Averson, whatever. But the point is, long before the get was given. So therefore, Shimon says the fact that the get is predated in this case doesn't cause a problem as far as dinim mominus. It may cause a problem as far as certain factors that we're going to mention in the Gemara. One of them being dinim mominus. But as we're going to see in the Gemara, Reb Shimon is not so concerned about that. As we'll see why. So the Gemara says itzmar. So now we have a discussion of amirayim. Why did the Chachamim make a takana that you have to write a date on gittin? Now it's true that our Mishnah doesn't really say in so many words that you need to write a date b'chlal. All it says is that if it was misdated, then it's possible. You could conceivably infer from our Mishnah that if there were no date at all, it would be fine. However, later on in the Masechta, the Gemara tells us that in fact such a get would be possible. And also, that's one point that the Gemara is not really shtelling zich on the Mishnah to know that point. But rather, the Ran explains that mainly the Gemara is shtelling zich on the Mishnah at the end of the Masechta that says that the get needs a date. And then the Ritva says that no, actually, just in our Mishnah as well, if there were no takana that you need a date, then a wrong date wouldn't pass all the get. Similar to what we were saying before about the two shluchim. If you're saying that we can believe two shluchim to say that she was divorced, we don't care whether they said the formula properly. In a similar vein over here, you could say maybe that if there weren't a necessity to write a date in a get, then it wouldn't even matter if you wrote a possible one. So the fact that it does means that the date is essential. So, why did the Chachamim make a takana that you need a date on a get? Now, Tosfos points out, she's able to collect mezonos from the time they got divorced, and you could have a case where she had borrowed money before, where she had borrowed money beforehand to support herself. So now we want there to be a date on the get, so he can't falsely claim that he had divorced her already at that time, and therefore she's not entitled for him to repay the loans. Tosfos says that wouldn't be an issue because in fact she has a migri over there. She could, if she wanted, hide the gets and nobody even knows that she's divorced, and then she'll bring it out only when she wants to get married. And Tosfos goes on to discuss this point and related points about Edi Chasima and Edi Mesira in some detail. The Pnei Yehoshua actually points out that the whole discussion over here in the Gemara would seem to be based on the idea that Edi Mesira Tauti, that the essential thing is when we have Edus that the Edim who watch the get being handed over are the ones that make it take effect. Really, he says, if we were to say that Edi Chasima Kauti, the basic idea is that the Edim who sign the shtar are the ones who sign the get are the ones make it take effect, then he says, listen, of course you need a date on it. You need to be able to be mazin them. But then he goes on to discuss maybe not necessarily. Maybe Hazama doesn't apply to Edus in a shtar. And he goes back and forth on that. Anyway, why do you need Zman in Gittin? Rabbi Yochanan says, suppose you have a case where a man is married to his niece. Now, a person, that's actually the closest relative that a person is allowed to marry la halacha. There's even a Gemara in Yevamos that says that it's a good thing for a person to do that, because that way there'll be a very close, loving relationship between them. Because a person naturally loves his relatives. So like this, yeah. Anyway, what would happen now if his wife was Mizana? Now he doesn't want her. He doesn't want her to get executed by Beis Din. So therefore, if he were to write an undated get and give it to her, or a predated get, then he could falsely claim that she was already divorced at the time that she was Mizana, and therefore he'd spare her from being executed. So therefore, that would be a reason why we need a date on a get. In fact, Rishonim bring from a Yerushalmi that says that such a case actually taka happened. There was a man married to his niece where she was Mizana and so forth. Anyway,
What about the Eidim?
I mean, they
know the date.
That's fine. They know the date when she was Mizana. They don't know that she was divorced, whether she was divorced at the time. So nevertheless, though, that's the thing. If the get is predated or undated, then he's going to say that, or she's going to say that I was divorced at that time.
Even if it will be destroyed, even if the Eidim come along later,
but that at least for the time being, he'd save her. Tosfos mentions, by the way, that on the one hand, you could say she has a chazaka of an eishes ish. On the other hand, against that chazaka is first of all the fact that now we have a get. And second of all, the chazaka is also that she's going to be a kshera, that at least she's not going to be mizana when she's an eishes ish. So that would be enough to save her. Yeah, maybe at least temporarily, but fine. So that would be a reason. Rish Lakish Amar Mishum Peiris. Rish Lakish says a different reason is because of Peiris, namely that we know the husband is entitled to Peiris, the produce or the proceeds or whatever from the Nichsim Alug that his wife brought into the marriage. Once the get is delivered, then the husband doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. So if there's no date on the get, then he might go and sell the Peiris, and then when she goes to demand, well, you took my Peiris and sold them, he's gonna say, what are you talking about? I did it while we were still married, because he's gonna predate the get. So that would be a reason why you need a date on the get. In fact, Tosfos discusses, based on that logic, you should say that a post-dated get should be kosher. And Tosfos discusses why that should be. In fact, the Rambam holds, and he does mention the fact of Eidim Asira. The Rambam, in fact, does hold that a post-dated get is possible as well. The Raivan, in fact, disagrees with him on that. So there is some discussion on that point of a post-dated get. If you were talking about a pre-dated get, everybody would agree as possible. So again, the Shlokish is saying the reason is because of payers. And Rabbi Yochanan was saying because of Dinin Nefashos Shem Yechapa Al Basa Chosa. Rishonim point out, by the way, that Tosfos points out later on. So, what about in a time when there's not dini nefashos, when she's not in a position to be executed anyway? First of all, you might have that there were mamzerim produced from it, and he's going to want to pretend that they weren't mamzerim, that she was divorced already at the time. So, you don't want that. And also, of course, you have eventually the besmithish is going to be rebuilt. Eventually, there will be dini nefashos again, and Tosfos gives another answer also further along in the sugya that you don't want him to claim that she was Mizana only when she was divorced, and then he'll remarry her, and then the fact is that doesn't answer him to her, whereas if she was Mizana during the marriage, then she becomes also to him, as we learned in Sota, Kashem Shasur al-Bao, Kahasur al-Boyal, so that would be another reason why he might want to fudge things, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, that's why you need a date on the get. So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish my time alay omak Rav Yechanan. Now, why doesn't Rish Lakish agree with Rav Yechanan's reason, that Shemi Yechapa? The reason is, he says, Omalach, Znus loy shlicha. Znus is not common enough for the Hachamim to make takana, that every get has to have a date in it, because of this possibility of Znus. It's not common enough for it to be a problem. Tosfos says, actually, we don't necessarily mean that it's not so common. What we mean is, with Eidim Basra. Znus without that might be a little more common, and then we find other takonis that are made to guard against such possibilities, but that there should be Eidim Vasra, and that she should really be in a position to be Chayav Nisa, and then the only thing that's going to save her is a get. then it's not a common enough thing. There are other Mephoshim who learn that what it means is that as Nus, during that short amount of time between when the get was written and when it was signed, is not that common. Long term, fine, but not necessarily specifically during that one day or something.
But today.
What do you mean today? So in other words,
if you know that if he has in mind to divorce his wife until he actually gives the get in Bezdin,
yeah,
it could be taking a while.
No, that's what we're talking about. Ultimately, the get is written on a certain day, and then it's signed shortly after that. And our Mishnah was...
No, she would know that he's writing the get.
Maybe he would, maybe she would, maybe she wouldn't, but whatever, anyway. Still, even so, she might. The point is, the Shemi Yichata, sort of Yechanan considers, is still a concern, even if you're talking about a very short amount of time, and Rish Lakish holds that no, within that short amount of time, there's not much of a concern. Rabbi Yochanan, my time, like Amakir Rish Lakish, what about, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan agree with Rish Lakish's reason that the issue is Paris? The answer is Kasava, because Rabbi Yochanan holds, Yesh Labal Paris on Shas Nesina. As a matter of fact, the husband does have the right to Paris until he actually gives the get to her. So therefore, so no problem. Even if the get was the date on the get doesn't really help us anything. Doesn't really make a difference. If she needs to go and collect from him to reimburse her for the payrus that he ate, then she's anyway going to need to bring Adim when she received the get, says Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, so the date doesn't really make a difference one way or the other. And Tosfos gets into a discussion about that maybe get are getting different than other shtaris in that regard. In general, with shtaris, we say that only when they're delivered do you have, only then does the shibud and the shtar take effect. So Tosfos discusses various ins and outs of that, but Tosfos explains differently. Tosfos brings the Ri that says that what it means is the husband actually has Paris until Shas Nesina. So not like Rashi, that in other words, he taka forfeits the Paris as of when the get is written, but she's going to have to, it's going to be up to her to bring Adim when she received the get. But rather, Rabbi Yochanan would hold, the husband actually has Paris until Shas Nesina, so therefore, So what happens, in other words, even if there was no date at all, so all we need, in other words, if there's no date at all in the get, fine. If she came to Beis Din and said, I want the payrus back, then what they would do is she would go on the date that she receives the get. She'd go to Beis Din, they'd write her out a shtar that says, they'd write her out a receipt that says that she received her get on such and such a day, and therefore that would be a good enough raya. You don't necessarily need to write the date in the get itself for that purpose. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that wouldn't be enough of a reason to actually have to write the date in the get, because you could accomplish that some other way using a different shtar, and therefore the fact that you need a date in a get must be for a different reason. And Rabbi Yochanan says it's Shem Yechata. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Bishleim alor Rish Lakish." Now I understand according to Rish Lakish, Mishum Hachi Kamachir Rav Shimon. Rish Lakish's opinion will answer for us very easily why Rav Shimon says that it's kosher in the case where it was written by day and signed the following night. Because we can understand that. Further on, the Gemara is going to explain that Rav Shimon holds that once the husband decides to divorce her, then already he loses payrus. So therefore, if he continued to eat Paris after that time, then she is going to have a valid argument to say that I should be entitled to reimbursement because that was already after you decided to divorce me. So therefore, Rav Shimon says we don't care whether the date in the get is inaccurate, because in any case, it's not the date when the get was written, it's when Nosan Eino Vagarsha. So that neatly explains Rav Shimon's reason. But according to Rav Yochanan, how are you understanding it? My time is Rav Shimon the Machshir. Why would Rav Shimon say it's kosher? Don't you still have the problem of Shemi Yechabe? And the answer is, Amalach Rav Yochanan, I'll live Rav Shimon like Amina. So as a matter of fact, fine, Rav Yochanan will say fine. My reason, you're right, I'm not talking according to Rav Shimon.
Now, One second.
Kikamina, I'll live Rabbanon. What I'm saying is according to the Chachamim. In other words, in effect, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I say that Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim are arguing on both sides. Rabbi Shimon would say the reason is because of Paris. Fine, Rabbi Rish Lakish, you can say that that's a more general reason, therefore. So the reason is because the problem is Paris. But I say the Chachamim don't hold that Paris is an issue. I say that only Shemi Yechapeh is an issue, and so the machlokes would be, number one, what would be the reason behind the takana, and number two, in fact, when up until what point is the husband entitled to eat payrus, till the get is written or until it's delivered. So therefore he would say that we have to understand it that way. We have to understand that the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim and the Mishnah is based on both of those points. Number one, the reason for the takana, and number two, taka, when does the husband forfeit payrus? So you're asking, how does he have the right? He can't argue with Tanoim, but he can pick one side and he can explain that side according to his shita. So in this case, he can explain that the takana of writing a date and a get is not because of an issue involving payrus, but rather only because of an issue involving basa chosa.
But had it not been for the payrus issue, he wouldn't be able to say a reason.
When
payrus issue was not settled amongst the chachamim that they argued on that point too, he wouldn't be able to satisfy us with saying the reason of Shemi.
Well, he could. I mean, the chachamim haven't given a reason at all. Neither the chachamim nor the Shimon give a reason for their opinions in the Mishnah. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is justified in coming up with a reason, and he's saying that the reason that you, the Shlokish, are saying would work only according to the Shimon, I hold it wouldn't work according to the chachamim.
That's the thing.
In other words, Rabbi Yochanan would say that the whole matter of Paris is yes. So Rabbi Shimon would say the reason is not Shemi Yechapa; it's only because of Paris, and therefore, so and Rabbi Shimon, as the Gemara is going to go on to say in a minute, is that that Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara is going to go on to say that Rabbi Shimon holds that. That the husband forfeits payrus as soon as he writes the get. So therefore, it doesn't really matter when it was signed. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would say that reason would work according to Rabbi Shimon. That would explain why Rabbi Shimon says it's kosher. It wouldn't work according to the Chachamim, and according to the Chachamim, we need a different reason. And that reason would be Shemi Yechapa.
But he does argue also about that.
So the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Shimon about when the husband forfeits the payrus, but Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Yochanan says that wouldn't be reason enough for us to passel a get without a date. Just because of that, there must be a different reason. So the Gemara continues. Well then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we understand that would be the machlokas. Rabbi Shimon is saying that the get is kosher because, again, the husband loses the right to her payrus once he decides to divorce her, as Rabbi Yochanan just said. Yesh labal payrus, or we said before. That he would say that Rabbi Shimon would hold that Kivin Shenosin Ein of the Garisha as soon as he decides to divorce her, then already he forfeits Paris. And the Chachamim would disagree with that and say that he has the right to Paris further along as well. But according to the Shlokish, what is the actual, according to the Shlokish, if the Shlokish holds that the reason is because of Paris, then why is there a difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim? If Rabbi Shimon is saying that it's fine because the husband can't sell payrus because already he forfeited them once he decided to divorce her, why would the Chachamim be saying what? Then what are the Chachamim saying differently that Rish Lakish would say that that would be a reason for them to say it's possible? And the answer is payrus meshas ksiva v'anshas chasima ikabinayu. That would be the difference. When you have payrus that he ate or that he sold or whatever, from when he wrote the get until when the get was signed, that would be the nafkamina. So the Chachamim would say they don't hold of the concept that kivin shenosin ain of the garisha, that as soon as he decides to divorce her, he loses the payrus. Therefore, they say, and in fact, they say he's allowed to eat the payrus until the get is signed. So therefore, if the get was written on one day and signed on a different day, then you're going to have this problem as far as payrus. The get was written on Monday and signed on Tuesday. So now you're going to have then the payrus that he ate
one day.
And he ate during that one day on Monday. She's going to claim he had no right to them, and she's going to try to take away from Lekuchos in order to satisfy that debt. And she can't do that. So therefore, the same way as with other predated shtaris, we're going to say it's possible. Whereas Reb Shimon would say anyway, once the get is written, then he forfeits the payrus anyhow. So therefore, in fact, if he ate payrus on Monday, then Taka he doesn't have the right to them, and she does have the right to collect them. So therefore, he says there's no problem if the get is. Therefore, there's no problem if the get is predated.
Those ones written.
From them, because they say, because Reb Shimon would say that it goes according to when it's written, right? Okay, so the Gemara asks, in that case, then haven't we found that Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish actually hold the other way around? So you're telling me now that according to Reb Yochanan, the husband has the right to the according to Reb Yochanan, there's no real difference between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon as far as how long you have the Peiros. He holds Yesh Labal Peiros on Shas Nesina until the get is delivered. And Reish Lakish is saying that you forfeits it at some earlier time. But V'ha'if Chashamin and Lahu, we find them saying the other way around. From what point on do we say that the wife is able to collect from third parties to pay for payrus that the husband took? Rabbi Yochanan says from when the get was written, and Reish Lakish says from when it was given. So that's exactly the opposite of what we just said, because we just said that Rabbi Yochanan says he has until Nesina to have those payrus, and Reish Lakish is saying only till Ksiba. At least according to the Chachamim. And the answer is epoch. You have to flip around the opinions. So how do you know which one to flip around? Tosfos says that it means that we're flipping around the one about the payers. We're leaving intact the one about the reasons behind the date and the get, Shemi Yechapa versus payers. We're leaving that intact, but we're flipping around and we're saying Reish Lakish would be the one to say that she has the right to collect, to be reimbursed for the payers up until the time of Ksiva. And Reish Lakish would hold, or Reish Lakish would say until the time of Ksiva, or from the time of Ksiva and onward, and Rabbi Yochanan would be saying Ad Shas Chasima, and therefore that comes out consistent with what they're saying over here. There are Rishonim who discuss that back and forth. Is it that way, or maybe do we flip around the opinions of Shemi Yechaka versus Peres? So they bring in this connection of Yerushalmi that also makes it clear, that Rabbi Yochanan holds Shemi Yechapa and Reish Lakish holds Peiros, so therefore that means there's less of a possibility to switch it around. It must be that if we're going to switch anything around, it has to be the one about Ksiva versus Nesina. What?
I have a question to summarize.
Yeah.
If Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue about these two reasons of Shemi Yechaper, it's loosely Shechicha, according to Reish Lakish saying
right.
Rabbi Yochanan's comment.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan would say to Rabbi Reish Lakish, hey, Mishum Peres,
right.
It's Ad Shas Nesina, therefore there's not much time between the Ksiva and the Nesina Saget, I suppose.
Well, there may be, there may not be.
Therefore, is that not the right rational?
Well, no, I mean, that's...
What's the rational to say Reish Lakish? Doesn't say like Rabbi Yochanan because who's like Shrifa in so much time, such a small
space. No, but one second. That point about it not so much time, that was only a point of one explanation. The Shara Melech, explaining the Rambam, understands it that way. We just said before, Tosfos says, Tosfos understood the point of Znus Shrifa to be differently. We're not talking about short term, long term. We're talking about Znus with Eidim Basra is not so common. Yeah.
What is Rabbi Yochanan? I didn't get to the other side of it. Okay. Why does Rabbi Yochanan not respond to Reish Lakish that Peiros Leishchicha or...
What do you mean Peiros Leishchicha every day? What do you mean Peiros Leishchicha every day? Yeah, Peiros. If you're talking about a field, first of all, if you're talking about a field, then every day things are becoming ripe in it. But besides that, keep in mind, Peiros can be from any kind of things. Peiros can be from an Eved. You have the right to the Eved's work. Peiros can be from a hotel where you rent out rooms to people. So every single day you'll have Peiros. So yeah, there can be a real difference between one day and the next. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would say, Peiros is all fine and good, but that wouldn't be a reason to be arguing. That wouldn't be a reason for Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. That might explain Rav Shimon's reason. It wouldn't explain the Chachamim's reason, because in any case, they would say that you have until Shas Nesina, until the get is delivered, he's entitled to pay. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether the get, therefore, on the face of it, it shouldn't matter whether the get was written one day and signed the next day. It wouldn't matter. He still has the right to pay us until Shas Nesina anyhow. If she comes with a written get that has a certain date on it and says, wait, I was divorced as of this day, I'm entitled to those payers, we're going to tell her, where's your Eid in the Sinner? Or as Tosfos is saying, we don't even need maybe Eid in the Sinner at all. We'll write you a separate shtar, not the get itself, that says what day you received the get.
So when the Gaon just says this, does that mean that the guy who the printer made a mistake?
No, it doesn't mean the printer made a mistake. It means the Chachamim, when they were telling over in the Beis Medrash, who said what? It means that somebody mixed it up. A lot, you do find a lot of times in the Gemara, you have it even more so in the Yerushalmi than in the Bavli, where it'll say, well, you'll have, it'll say that, that two Chachamim said, one said this and one said this. And many times we'll have in the Gemara where we're going to try to prove to Stein, can we prove which one said what? But not always are we even able to do that. And again, in the Yerushalmi, and remember, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both lived in Eretz Yisrael, that's even less common. So it may be, you may have this kind of thing. They said in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, one said this, and therefore they got confused over which one said what. And now the Gemara is clarifying for us, in order to make it work, then you need to say that the assumption of which one said what is incorrect, and in fact it was the other way around. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Omalei Abaye Rav Yosef. Now, in that case, so we're saying that let's look at a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, which again brings up this matter of a date. In fact, that's really where it actually says in so many words in the Mishnah that a get requires a date. Before, in our Mishnah, we just had that the get can't be predated, but there wasn't necessarily the implication that there needs to be a date at all. Later on, towards the end of the Masechta, we have where it clearly says it needs a date. So 1 second. So the Mishnah says, Shloisha Gittin Psulim, there are three kinds of get that are possible midrabanan, and we wouldn't allow her to marry with them. The Imnisis of Lad Kosher, but if she did, then since they're possible only midrabanan, then the child that she has would be kosher, because the midaraisa she was divorced. And then the Mishnah lists three cases. One of them is where there's no date on the get. So we have to ask if a get is kosher without a date on it, maha ilu chachamim betakanasan. Then what are the chachamim accomplished with their takana? We said you have to write a date in the get. What we're saying, b'dieved the get is kosher even with no date. So isn't there a problem that after all he might do that? So what are you saying, especially according to Rabbi Yechonon, yichap al basa choisei. So what's going to happen? So he'll write a get without a date. B'daraisa it'll be kosher. That'll be enough to save her from nisus based in. And so fine, she shouldn't marry with it, but if he doesn't care about that, if his whole purpose of writing the get is that after she was mizana, he wants to cover up for her, then he'll write a get without a date, and it'll be kosher daraisa, and that'll save her from nisa. So what did the chachamim accomplish by putting by making you put a date on a get in the first place? So Rabbi Yosef answers, Ahanu d'lachtchila lo tinase. Well, at least the Chachamim have accomplished that l'chatchila, a get without a date, she should not remarry with it. So therefore, in other words, since l'chatchila you're not supposed to get married with that. So if the husband decides to write such a get, in order to cover up for basa choisei, or in order to sell the peiros, the sofer adayonim to begin with are not going to write such a get for him. If he comes to the sofer adayonim and says, I want to divorce my wife, but I want you to write the get without a date, they're going to realize there's funny stuff going over you, and they're not going to write it. The edom are not going to sign on such a thing. So yes, in theory, if such a get were to be written, then it could work just to save her from nisa, but practically speaking, because the chachamim made that takana, such a get is not going to be written. So Abaye asks, what about if he has the get written with the date, but then Gaziel is Mandi day, what if he cuts off the line of the get that has the date on it, the Yavan Niyala, and then he gave the get to her, then what are you going to say? So then he can play games over here.
Isn't the get written in a way that we can do that?
No, not necessarily.
The bottom line has to be
summarized. No, the bottom line summarizes what it said in the get before, but it doesn't have the date in it. The date is at the top of the get. But whatever B'Shabbos, but whatever Yom Yerach Pani, and in principle, you could cut off that line and then give her the get. If we're saying, if Mishnah is telling us at the end of the Masechta that B'dieved, such a get is kosher, and at least it's considered that she's divorced, wouldn't he be able to do that? Amalei, Rabbi Yosef says, well, Amai Lo Chashinan, we're really not concerned about a case where a person tries to do trickery like that. People, in other words, even cheaters, try to do their cheating in a way where it won't be so obvious. Where you have, where the top line of get is cut off, it's clear that he's trying to do some kind of something funny over here, and therefore, so even cheaters are generally not going to do that. What? Yeah, I mean, there's also milsa davidilu gluya lemashakri inchi and other such things. Yeah, okay, fine. So what about Abaya continues asking? What about kosu boi shavua? What about if you don't have an exact date in the get? What if you only have that it was written during a certain shmita cycle? So you have the years are divided into seven of shmita cycles, and then within a yovel. So what if he wrote that this get was written? What if he wrote that this get was written during the third shmita of the yovel cycle? And no more specific than that. Or Shana, or he mentions only the year. Chodesh, or only the month. Or Shabbos, only the week. He says like the first week of the month.
Do we know it's the Yovel cycle word?
Right now we don't. Well, the Rambam gives two different opinions. One is that we do know, and according to the Chachamim, and according to the Rambam's calculation, the last Yovel from in our times would have been Tavshin Samachay, so we'd now be in the 18th year of the next Yovel cycle. According to the second opinion that Amram says, when the Bismifish is destroyed, there are no Yovels at all. We don't count Yovels at all, and therefore what year of the Yovel we're in is irrelevant. So back then, when they had Shemitahs and Yovels, then you can, in the times of the Bismifish, yeah.
Shavu
over here means, yeah, because since we're saying it before Shabbos or before Shana or Chodesh or Shabbos, we're going downward in progression. So first we're talking about a whole 7 year cycle, then a whole year. So he just wrote the get Tavshin Pei Gimel, or he just wrote Sivan Tavshin Pei Gimel, or he just wrote the first week of Sivan Tavshin Pei Gimel, or whatever. What would be the din? Are such gift in kosher? Amalei kosher. So Rabbi Yosef tells him, yes, such a get is kosher, and such a get is kosher. And in fact, Rashi says even Lachatchila. On the other hand, the Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam to say that L'Hatchila, you could use it once it was written, but you shouldn't write it like that, L'Hatchila. And in fact, there is a good deal of a lot of Hilchus Gittin have to do with the details of writing, there are certain details about writing the date. If L'Hatchila, you could, for example, there's an interesting discussion, how do you write the name Iyar, the name of the month Iyar in a get? Do you write it with one yud or two yudin? And in fact, the post can say, where possible, maybe a get shouldn't be written in Iyar at all because of that subject. If you're going to say L'Hatchila, you could just write the year without the month, then you wouldn't have the problem. Just write Tavshin Pei Gimel and have done with it. So. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, in that case, Maha Elu Chachamim, B'Takanosan. Well, if you're telling me that a get can be so imprecisely dated, then what are you accomplishing with it? After all, then you still have the problem of Peiros. So what if the guy says it was during the third Shmita cycle of the Yovel. So how does that help? As far as Peiros, you still have many years worth of Peiros that he could be falsely claiming, or that she could be falsely claiming. You still have many years worth of Znus that could be, And the answer is, Ahan l'shavur d'kameh, or l'shavur d'basre. Fine, but at least it helps that if she was mezana during the previous shmita in that yovel cycle, then yes, she'll be chayav misa, l'shavur d'basre. And as far as the peiros, it helps for the 7 year cycle after that. So yes. Doesn't matter. There's no statute of limitations. You could come years later and say, yeah. Okay, and the Gemara says, after all, one second, De'ilai temahochi, after all, if you're not going to say that, yoyma gufe, then you have to consider, on the day itself that the get was written, miyad inan imitsafer imipanya, how would we know whether the get was written in the morning or at the end of the day? Ela, l'yoyma dekameh or l'yoyma debasre, but having a date on the get excludes the day before and the day after it. Hochanami, ahana, the shavur dekameh or the shavur debasre, the same way over here, it helps at least as far as the previous shmita and the following shmita. So, again, we're not going to go so far as to write hours in the get, because they don't do that in places outside Yerushalayim, and therefore that's how it'll be. Before we leave, by the way, I forgot to mention one other interesting thing in that Agadta before about Rav Lavachana and the Chavra and whatever. The Maharam Shif says that that so he's saying that it would be a greater advantage to live under Edom than under Persia. He says because one advantage of Edom, as harsh as they are to the Jewish people, after all, Yaakov gave him the bracha. He says, "V'hoya kasher torid," when you have reason to complain against the Jews because they're not learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, then you'll be able to dominate them. Implying as long as Jews are learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, then Esav has no power over us. Whereas by the Persians, you have no such thing. So now, especially that he's harassing Tamid Chachamim and taking away the lamp from them while they're sitting there and learning Torah, then Rav Avachana says, under those circumstances, we'd be better off under Esav, because if we were under Esav and learning Torah, they wouldn't have the ability to do anything to us.
Madam
Schiff says that, yeah.